Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune again.
Bears beat report and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
This story by Dan Wiederer, it's obviously very well reported.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score and 2400 Sports.
I've said this before, playing quarterback in the NFL is a lot like marriage. It's not about being a hero all the time. It's about limiting your mistakes. And if you do make a mistake, make sure it's not a catastrophic one.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
We want it to be a fast Friday and a fast focus Friday.
Dan Wiederer.
His name is Dan Wiederer. Wiederer time.
Weedsy.
With Danny and Speeds.
Wiederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod.
Dan Wiederer talks football with you.
It's been a while since we've talked to Dan Wiederer, and he had a very interesting piece on Ryan Poles and Caleb Williams on Sunday, so wanted to talk to him, and he's kind enough to join us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Before we get to that, we will get to the more breaking news regarding the Bears. But first, hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, Danny. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you for making the time on a busy week. Your reaction to the Bears holding a press conference the day before they draft Caleb Williams at Soldier Field with stakeholders and city officials announcing plans for a downtown lakefront domed stadium.
I believe you're having David on after me, so I won't steal his thunder, but I am not as aggravated as he is, but as perplexed as he is, certainly at the timing of this. It just seems like strange timing to divert attention one way or another away from the draft or away from the stadium, or have those two stories kind of competing for attention at a time when you probably could let both of those breathe a little bit and let them have their day. But certainly the actual unveiling of their plans and their vision and the renderings and the video that they're going to show and the questions that they're going to take should provide answers to what I'm sure you would agree is a list of five dozen questions on how in the world this is going to be practical, how it's going to take shape. And they've got their opportunity to take that stage and provide those answers.
Do you think the mayor's going to be there?
I would think. Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. It's a great question on who all will all be in attendance. I know I will not be because I'll be in Detroit trying to get an audience with Caleb Williams. And that's one of those situations where you're like, all right, like these things are going to be happening simultaneously, where Caleb Williams is going to be talking to the media in Detroit. And you're going to be trying to also educate your entire fan base and your Chicago audience on this plan for a new stadium and a green space by the museum campus. And it's just going to be interesting to kind of figure out how all of those things intersect.
Yeah. Really, really weird that they would do it the day before. Like maybe Caleb would care, maybe not, but just be excited about the football. Be excited.
Yeah.
About the football.
Right. Right. Like I say, let it breathe and give each of those moments they're due. Like, both of these things are huge, huge things. And there's an opportunity to squeeze the most out of both of them. I said this on the podcast that I thought one of Ryan Pace's best achievements as general manager of the Bears was getting that expansion done to Halas Hall, with the facility renovations and the things that they did there. And I think they released the announcement for that on a Friday evening at like 6 o'clock, and that never truly got all the attention it probably deserved because it was just kind of buried late on a Friday, late in the week.
Galaxy Brain thought they want to do it before Caleb because it is a bluff.
I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, it's the speculation. I mean, skepticism is definitely warranted until it's unwarranted. And so, I mean, it's certainly worth kind of sifting through everything that they present on Wednesday to figure out what's in there and how much, I guess, momentum is truly behind it.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. Okay. I do want to talk about the football side of it with you. But what do you make of the continued Kevin Warren? Because the texter just said, no, Kevin Warren needs the spotlight. Like, ESPN had one, the Tribune had one, the Sun-Times had one. I know that Ted Phillips was behind the scenes, but this guy is the scene. It's and I know they're different and not everybody has to be the same, but maybe like spike the ball once you cross the goal line, not so early in the whole thing. I just the public nature at which he is telling everyone how much work he's doing and how involved he is in everything just screams politician to me and fluff and not necessary. What's your make of the strategy?
Yeah, well, in this particular instance, this is all on the heels of the league meetings in Orlando last month, where everyone that was there in attendance had an opportunity to get sort of that one-on-one access with Kevin Warren for the Tribune. It was Colleen Kane who did our story.
Yeah.
And did a really nice job last week. Courtney Cronin from ESPN, and I didn't see who did this. Sometimes it was probably Patrick Finley because he was down there. So that is less of a you know, hey, I'm on stage, look at me move as it is. This was our opportunity to have an audience with him in Orlando very recently, and everybody else just has to decide kind of how they're going to time it for their individual outlet. So that one doesn't strike me as that. But look, like when Kevin was hired, those who have been in his orbit in the NFL, in the Big Ten, understand that part of his philosophy is to be as out front as humanly possible. Some of that is going to create the perception that he's looking for the spotlight at all times. And it's part of the DNA that you're going to have to get used to and try to figure out how to sift through it individually to see what makes sense to you and what is valuable and what's not. Look, like this is, you've been on it for a while. I've been on it for a while. This is a incredibly landmark time in Chicago Bears history with all they have going on. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to hear from the people that are making these decisions, whether it be Kevin, whether it be Ryan Poles. Like this is a period in Bears history that we're going to look back on 20 years from now, one way or another, and go, wow, that was like an incredibly eventful 6 to 8 months.
Oh yeah. No, it is definitely a pivotal time for the franchise. There's no question about it. I wish it was more about the pivots for the football team than this other stuff, but I understand that the stadium is a huge deal as well. I just happen to find it completely joyless. Were you surprised that Ryan Poles basically admitted to you that they were taking Caleb Williams?
No, because I think once the trade of Fields was made, there was really no guessing left in the equation. I think for a lot of us, there hadn't been guessing left in the equation since late January. And they had obviously reached a point at the time I talked to Ryan where the comfort level had gotten to a stage where they understood that they were sending out save the date cards and the marriage was, you know, set for April 25th. What I really found compelling in my sit down with Ryan was just how natural he felt his individual connection with Caleb was. And the more I've listened to Caleb talk, the more I've kind of gotten a feel for his DNA. You can understand why he and Ryan would have the vibe that they have at the early stages of this relationship, because they both carry themselves with a very similar sort of relaxed confidence that I think you can kind of feel when both of them speak, that they're very self-assured. They're very capable of projecting their self-confidence in a way that gives the outside world a sense of calm from within. And so that connection, I think, is significant. And now, obviously, the bigger, more important connections are how Caleb connects with his head coach, his coordinator, the guys he's throwing the football to. And that's obviously going to take root here in the near future.
Do you have any issue, because that in that open that we do for you, that piece by Dan Weider is obviously very well reported. It was the reexamination of the 2017 draft when I went nuts at the anecdote that they did not fully vet Deshaun Watson like they did Trubisky and Mahomes. It came out, you know, they on the film, they didn't think he was that caliber of prospect, so they knew Myles Garrett was going one, so they did the full evaluation of Mahomes and Trubisky. And this time, they've only done the evaluation of Caleb Williams. I know they studied the tape on all of the other guys. And by the way, I do not have a problem with it. I'm wondering if you do. Jaden Daniels, Drake May, they go to the pro day. They do the interviews at the combine. They watch all the film. But they didn't bring them in. They did not do the full day long, you know, put you up on the board and meet everybody thing. Is that a mistake?
No. I wouldn't have been annoyed if they had done it. I do think that, like, sometimes there are situations where time is limited, resources are limited, and oh, by the way, you're also picking number nine. And so this isn't a situation like 2017 where everything revolves solely around this pivotal pick that you had at three and then you traded up to two and drafted Mitch. You've got to figure out a very important decision at nine, which requires you to go out and do the work on those prospects as well. I think they just have an understanding that Caleb is head and shoulders above on their board any of these other guys, and that they were able to get information that they needed on Jaden Daniels from the pro day, from JJ McCarthy at the pro day at Michigan, that they visited with these guys in different forums. They've had scouts on the ground, you know, for years now doing the research, and they feel like they have a thick enough file. So I'm not as thrown off as I was in 2017 when there was clearly some questions on who it should be. I think in 2017, you and I were in alignment that Watson was the guy that if we had been in the GM's chair, we would have taken. And to the Bears' credit, I think this gets lost sometimes. Patrick Mahomes was in their top cloud on that 2017 draft board, and he was their number two quarterback on that board. They just chose Mitch Trubisky. And so it's not like they totally whiffed on the Mahomes evaluation. They just fell harder for Mitch Trubisky than they should have. And it obviously cost several people their jobs. And now here we are again at a very serendipitous time in Bears history where they're going to get a chance to the organization's going to get a chance to make amends for that with number one pick from another team in a draft that everybody's been looking forward to for 3 years because of the quarterback that's going to be taken at number one.
Dan Weider from the Take the North Pod and the Chicago Tribune and the Score is our guest, and probably not in that order. What do you think is the most likely outcome for the ninth pick?
I love the menu that Ryan Poles is going to be staring at when that pick comes up on Thursday night, because you're going to obviously have to see how those first eight picks evolve. And this draft marries up with where the Bears would love to make a pick at number nine. Do you want somebody to impact your pass rush? It doesn't have to be just an edge guy. It could be an interior guy like Byron Murphy. You could take one of the edges, a three technique, a wide receiver, or an offensive tackle. And the prospects that are going to be available at that point of the board at all those positions are attention grabbing. They're really, really good players, which is why I think that if Ryan can find a trade partner and it can be within the floor that he sets for their board, that I think that's his preferred option would be to trade down, you know, go down four, five slots, whatever makes sense, be able to get another pick and then still have one of those players that's there. Now, I have no idea internally who on their board is, if this guy's here at nine, we're 100% pulling the trigger. We'd have to know that first. But I think in an ideal world, if it's able to work where they're able to trade back, get another pick and still pick off that menu that I described, you've got some really, really good options there and you can be right with any of them.
How many blue players does Ryan Poles have in this draft?
Great question. We'll hear from Ryan and Ian Cunningham tomorrow at noon at Hallis Hall. Maybe they'll give us some insight into that. I mean, look, like you talk to people around the league that have been stacking the board and they just feel like this top 20 is loaded, you know, like it's kind of a pick your flavor thing. Like, you know, like Brock Bowers is a guy that could in most years justify using a top five pick on if this wasn't such a quarterback rich draft where people are taking those big swings, he could go fifth or sixth and people will go, yeah, that makes sense. Great talent, you know, and he might not go until 14 on Thursday night. And so that's what I mean, where it's just like the Bears could not be better off in having these two top 10 picks and then not having really much to work with on day three in a draft where most people around the league say, yeah, just be based on circumstances and dynamics, this board really falls off at the start of round five. And that it's just kind of like a year where those middle five, six and seven picks don't really mean a lot. And so, I mean, they're just sitting, Danny, on a world of opportunity this week. And I think we're all eager to see how big that class is. And then obviously who the ninth pick is and what they can add behind that.
So I want you to just kind of react to like two of my big like tenets that I've been saying and see if you poke holes in any of the logic or disagree in any spot. They've drafted in with, you know, high draft picks, Tyreek Stevenson, Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, yeah, Zach Pickens, Jervon Dexter. They traded a second round pick for Sweat and paid him. They signed Edwards. They signed Edmonds. They paid Jalen. How many more resources, premium resources through either draft or capital or draft capital need to go into the defensive side of the ball? I already feel like it's a little out of whack, and you have a defensive head coach. I strongly prefer the ninth pick to be on the offensive side of the ball, or the second selection that Ryan Poles makes to be on the offensive side of the ball.
I don't vehemently disagree with your want there. I would just tell you that Byron Murphy's a guy who almost fits perfectly in what Matt wants to do at that three tech position, and they haven't been able to get that really short up to a high level in Ryan's first two off seasons on the job. You look at an edge like Jared Verse, fits great in the system, could be an impact pass rusher opposite of Montez Sweat that takes your defense to the next level. So there's an easy argument to be made for some of these defensive players that are going to be available to you at number nine. If you want to go get an offensive tackle or a weapon for Caleb Williams, I'm 100% fine with that as well. And that's why I feel like this is one of those choose your own adventure books where no matter what you choose, you turn to a page and it's like, you win. You got the guy that filled the need and helps your team go to the next level. And so it's really exciting time for them to figure out how it evolves and which direction they want to go, because I don't really think there is a wrong answer or one where we're going to be waking up Friday morning and going, what did they do there?
Okay. Verse scares me a little bit. Like, just a grown man beating up on kids. Like, just like he's stronger and he's older than everybody. You can't do that in the NFL. That one scares me a little bit at that spot. Yeah, Murphy, I would get. Verse would scare. And trading down for defense would really bother me. But, I mean, listen, it's going to be a great day because Caleb Williams is going to be a Bear. But
right.
Verse would scare me a little bit.
Yeah, I get it. But I wouldn't be too scared, because I think when you talk to evaluators, they see a guy who's really physical, aggressive, long, you know, plays, you know, more than Dallas Turner fits in the 4-3 system that the Bears run and is able to really blend in there. And look, like this is an exciting week. I mean, we've talked about it for 3 months that the union with Caleb Williams is something that the city was overly reluctant to wrap their arms around when they shouldn't have been, because it's just, this is exactly what you dream of. That's not to say it guarantees you anything going forward from this, but this is the type of prospect that you want to have in your building to try to be the multiplier that takes your franchise to a level where you can, maybe compete for a playoff berth 3 years in a row, which hasn't happened in, you know, 30 plus years. This is exciting. And look, like, I don't know if you agree with me, but like when that Pivot podcast that Caleb Williams did last week, I guess it was at the end of last week, there's a depth to this guy that I think is going to be really compelling for those of us.
Yes.
In the media. And I think for the fans as well, I think there's layers. Like, I think he's just more interesting as a human than either Mitch or Justin was in that role. And it's just, I think it's going to be fun. The on the field stuff is its own story, and it's going to be dazzling, and there's going to be bumps in the road in the development, and it's going to be a lot of fun to chronicle. But I do think that there's a level of introspection and ambition and passion in Caleb Williams that's going to come out every time we get to hear from him. And I'm personally eager to start to make that connection, because I think it could be really fun.
I can't wait. Dan, good stuff. We'll be in Detroit. You'll be in Detroit. And texters are saying they're scheduling the press conference at the stadium on Wednesday, so the beat writers can't be there. So there's another conspiracy theory. But
Wednesday, well, we got a full city team that can go attack that for us at the Tribune, so I'm sure they'll ask all the right questions.
All right, Dan. Well, we'll see you in Detroit, man. Thanks for the time today.
All right. Travel safe. See you.
All right. That's Dan Wiederer from the Trib, the Take the North pod with David Haugh. David Haugh, not pleased with this stadium press conference announcement. We can ask him about that. But the reason we're having him on, he shocked Dave Wannstedt on TV. He left him speechless because David's got a hot draft idea. It's next on The Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
A source told The Parkins and Spiegel Show on 670 The Score. I know those guys.
Afternoons on The Score.
If the first four picks are quarterbacks and you're sitting there and you're Ryan Poles, I would be compelled to move up. I would be bold and take next year's first-round draft pick, maybe some other collection of picks, the number nine this year, obviously, and move up for Marvin Harrison Jr. That's how you change history. You add a wide receiver who is the best player in this draft with a quarterback who's going to change your franchise, and then you go to town. Then you're talking playoffs. Then you can win the draft on day one. This is not outrageous. Dave, you're looking at me like I just suggested
that. Coach is so upset.
Dave, you're so disappointed in me. I don't know if I can handle that. But this is how you take advantage of a rare opportunity.
We loved this clip so much of Vegas Haugh on NBC Sports Chicago, and we'll talk to AJ Pierzynski coming up in less than 15 minutes about why he no longer works for the White Sox. But we needed the details filled in. Did Dave Wannstedt ever speak again? Was he appalled at the idea because it wasn't a defensive player? David Haugh from Mully and Haugh, kind enough to join us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. You stumped the Wani, David.
Hey, Danny. Yeah, thanks, Tanny, for the background music. Kenny Chesney, as always. Dave Wannstedt was definitely stumped because he hated the idea so much he was speechless. And I understand that. Defensive-minded head coach. Ugh. And I was asked basically to look at scenarios and opportunities. And I think conventional wisdom, the part I did say, conventional wisdom says you stay at nine and maybe you take Roma Dunze. That's what I'm going in thinking. But if the first four picks are quarterbacks, I do think you have to at least have that conversation in the Bears draft room, what it would take to move up if Marvin Harrison Jr. is still on the board at number five.
Well, and I mean, if they get Marvin Harrison Jr. and that future first round pick that you're trading, what do you think? That'll be like what, the 32nd pick in the draft when they win the Super Bowl, something like that?
I don't know if it will be 32nd. That's facetious. I get it. I like it. But Danny, seriously, if they get into the playoffs after this year's draft class helps them get there, it will be a lower pick. You're not going to be drafting ninth again. Theoretically, it's
no. They shouldn't be drafting ninth in either. I mean, Houston traded its first round pick to Minnesota, and they won one playoff game, and it's the 23rd pick in the draft.
Yep, absolutely, and that's what you're looking at. So, in that context, it doesn't sound so outrageous. That was my point, and I understand it's a lot to pay for a rookie who, with two other receivers who could be top 10 picks and Neighbors and Adunze. But I also couched it this way. If he's the number one player on your board and he's the best player in the draft, it is not crazy to consider.
Right, I agree. Generally speaking, I don't like trading multiple first-round picks for any position that is not quarterback. And I happen to believe that Odunze and Neighbors are both also going to be excellent. So I would have a hard time doing it myself, but I would obviously not be mad about it. The only thing that would make me mad is trading down and taking defense. Like, get a blue-chip player, and I would strongly prefer an offensive player to support Caleb Williams. What do you make of the Bears doing this press conference about the domed stadium on the lakefront the day before the draft on Wednesday?
Oh man, I mean, I was so ready to be positive and not cynical and all these things about this project. And then they're firing people in PR and then they're doing this kind of misstep again. They're still very, very clumsy. What are they doing? Is he playing, thinks he's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers, Kevin Warren? I don't know why you would schedule a press conference to announce what you plan to do on the lakefront within 24 hours of making the biggest draft pick that you have made in decades. That doesn't, it's not real conducive to smart PR strategy unless you're trying to distract, unless you're trying to obfuscate, unless you're trying to do something to take attention away from your big renderings because half the Bears media will be out of town. I don't know, but when you do something like this, it does raise the suspicion of people who've been around for a while, and I've been around for a while, so it does raise my suspicion.
Okay, right. So I agree with you. It shocked me at the timing, But you just floated out a bunch of theories. Like, do you have a theory, or is your theory just that something's going on?
My theory is that they probably want to bring as little of attention to how they're going to pay for this as possible. So somebody in the new regime was like, hey, let's just do it when everybody is focused on the good news, and this is going to be able to be something that is celebrated in terms of the organization is going to be celebrated this week. And it should be, because they're on the verge of something pretty special. Said this morning, all morning, it's fun to be a Bears fan again. Thank goodness, finally. And now they're like, oh, let's try to do this now. What's to harm in waiting a week? What's the big deal? Is it going to be invalid if you release the renderings in a week and tell everybody how you're going to pay for it? No. But you have a distracted fan base now. You have a distracted media contingent. And I think they're trying to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think Mayor Johnson will be there?
If he's not, why would you schedule it Wednesday?
I mean, I know, but it if he goes and then they still go to Arlington Heights and he wraps his arm around this thing publicly, yes, it would have started when Mayor Lightfoot was in office, but there would be some real optics of Mayor Johnson lost the Bears to Arlington Heights. Like, this is a very public bluff if they're still going to Arlington Heights. Have you been convinced that they're going to stay in the city?
Not convinced entirely, no.
Okay.
I still think that there's a lot of ground to cover, and this could be one of the biggest leverage plays that we have seen. But I also think that, you know, Mayor Johnson has a lot more unsettling optics to worry about than him standing next to Kevin Warren at a press conference to announce, you know, these plans to build a stadium on the lakefront. I think that could he should be there, because I think there are questions to be addressed and answered. There are serious questions and priorities and all kinds of things he might want to dodge. So if he's not there, I guess I won't be shocked. But, Danny, I think that if you're going to schedule it when they're scheduling it, I would hope that they would be open to all kinds of questions and have some answers willing for the public to hear.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's very, very strange. Never a dull moment with the Chicago Bears. So, okay, you want him to trade up for Marvin Harrison. What is what? Oh, okay.
I conventional wisdom. If I'm in the room, I'm at 9 and I'm taking Roma Dunze.
Okay.
If they have an opportunity to move up based on that scenario. So I guess yes, with an asterisk, because I think that it's unlikely to happen, but I would be willing to entertain it.
Okay. Is there, just give me a name or a scenario. Is there anything you would not want?
I don't want to trade down lower than 15, and if they do that, I'll be disappointed. I'm not crazy about taking a defensive tackle at 9 if they stay, but I did say this, and I want to stand by it. I'll come in Friday morning talking about the Bears draft, and there won't be anything that I think I can conceive of that would happen that would make me think it was a bad day.
Yeah. Caleb Williams is the headliner, no doubt. All right, that's Vegas Haw from Mully and Haw. You listen to him all the time. Thank you, sir. We love that video of you and Wani.
Thanks, Danny.
That's it. Yep, that's all.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, man, making Wani speechless is hard to do. We hang out with that guy all the time. He has a comment and a thought for everything. So Vegas Haw got him out of him. Very impressive. This White Sox game is going to be on national television. That's interesting. AJ Pierzynski's on the call. He used to work for the White Sox. Now he doesn't. And he said it was because of his criticism and the questions that he had about Chris Getz. Want to see what details he'll share about that coming up. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Batting seventh and warming up in the bullpen, the catcher, number 12, A.J. Pierzynski.
A.J. Pierzynski.
Now Pierzynski with two outs, top of the ninth. Well hit, right field. White Sox take the lead. A.J. Pierzynski says, take that, Cubs fans.
MLB veteran for 19 seasons.
You play against AJ, you hate him. You hate him. You want to kill him. But you play with him, you hate a little less.
There's only one guy I can tell you that knows every rule in the book, and that's AJ Pierzynski.
Two-time American League All-Star.
I always tell people I'm famous for two things in Chicago, striking out and getting punched in the face.
Pierzynski knocked over the catcher, Barrett. Oh, Barrett punched Pierzynski right in the grill.
2005 World Series champion.
It's a goner and a White Sox.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws. Out! And the White Sox have won the World Series.
Bet MGM Ambassador.
As a White Sox fan, what the f*** going on? Please, please tell me why. Please.
Host host of the Foul Territory Podcast.
Just put me on the fake IL again. Gosh, I wanted to pick the injury. And they said, well, what is it? And I said, anal fissure.
And they want the curtain call, and they got it from their catcher, A.J. Pierzynski.
A.J. Pierzynski with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
We love talking to A.J. Pierzynski. He's with us on the hotline brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. He's calling Sox and Twins on Fox Sports 1 tonight with Kevin Kugler. A.J. Pierzynski back on The Score. What's up, A.J.?
How you doing?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I get to watch this game tonight. I'm going to, you know, hope someone scores some runs because both these teams, they don't hit very well.
No. I don't. The White Sox do not seem national TV ready. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, this game was – I got this Monday and next Monday. It's the same two teams in the same channel. At this, you know, one's in Minnesota this week, and next week is back in Chicago. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. But I'm looking forward to seeing Cannon pitch tonight. He had a nice debut last time out. So let's see if he can do it again. Like Nastrini, you know, he did great his first time, struggled a second time. So let's see if Cannon can do it, you know, a little better.
So, you know, we played the clip man, it was, what, 2 weeks ago now? Time is just, it all runs together. Sorry, I got a 4 and 2-year-old. My brain is complete mush. About 2 weeks ago, where you revealed that you were no longer employed by the White Sox as an ambassador. What happened? What can you tell us about that?
I think it was last week, wasn't it?
It was just last week. Like I said, I apologize. That's on me. I know it was recent.
Yeah, I think it was last week, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was the week before. I don't know. Sometime like that. What happened was... you know, listen, I don't have a ton of time doing not only the Foul Territory, but also doing the Fox stuff. Plus, I have two teenage kids, you know, and we had some, and I said some things when they hired Chris Getz, and, you know, I gave my thoughts on it. And I thought they should have went outside the organization and looked around a little bit because, listen, you get a chance to interview 29 other teams' best guys that you think are their best guys, and maybe you can steal some ideas. Now, if you want to go back and hire Chris Getz, great. But at the same time, at least go out there and learn it. So, they didn't love that. Listen, I understand. But then we talked and they're like, you know, you're on our payroll. So, you know, you probably should, you know, say good things. And I was like, well, I also do this podcast where I'm going to say the truth and I also call games. And we just mutually agreed that it was time to kind of part ways with that. But listen, I still love the White Sox organization and there for the fans. I am a fan. I mean, my phone and my iPad still ding every time White Sox, something happens in a White Sox game. So, no hard feelings either way. Just not going to be there regularly like I was the last few years.
So that did not disappoint you?
I mean, I get it. I mean, was I disappointed? Of course. But, you know, they're always like, you know, you always hear, you know, you can say whatever, you know, because listen, I mean, I don't mean, and listen, Ozzie Yin goes on there and says whatever he wants. He's employed by the team. So, I mean, I know it's NBC Sports Chicago, but I mean, he gets into some guys every once in a while, but
yeah,
listen, at the end of the day, I mean, I get it. I get their side of it. I get my side of it. Like I said, there was no hard feelings. I mean, I talked to the people involved and it was just like, okay, it's cool. We'll move on.
Was Chris Getz upset?
You have to ask Chris Getz that. I don't know.
Okay.
We had Chris Getz on my, we had Chris Getz on Foul Territory and he was great. I mean, he gave us answers to some questions. Was he upset? I don't know. I haven't really spoken to him about it.
No, we loved when you had him on. You said that's exactly what Rick Hahn said.
well,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure I heard. That's what I said. I heard that one before. I mean, he said we got to earn the trust back of the fans, and I was like, wait, didn't we hear that last spring training too when Rick Hahn said the same thing?
Because listen, fans hear this, and I've been doing media in Chicago now since January of 2017, so not the longest, but long enough. I've heard from them before. They're sensitive. They don't like that stuff. And obviously, I don't work from the team. And it feels like every media person or person in commentary around here has heard from them. I would think, as someone who's worked in media my whole life, having you, popular former player who is a White Sox fan, who gets the alerts, a team that doesn't get all of the attention in the world, you have one of, if not the most popular digital properties in all of baseball that attracts a young audience. I would think I would want to work harder to make A.J. Pierzynski say good things about me on Foul Territory as opposed to severing the relationship and being concerned with the criticism.
That's not my decision. Listen, I mean, I picked the White Sox to make the playoffs last year. Yeah. I root for the White Sox every game. I mean, boy, was I wrong on that one. But listen, I mean, I get made fun of on that show all the time because I root, you know, all these guys are every night we'd have a lock with BetMGM and, you know, Papelbon, Kratz, Scott Braun, Todd Frazier, they're always picking against the White Sox. I get kind of mad about them. I'm like, they got to be better than this. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're 3-18. And, I mean, I get it. Listen, I understand, man. I do. I really do understand why. But, you know, I still like going back to the stadium and seeing everybody. And, I mean, I'll be there to do a couple games this year, not as many in the past because they're not as good. But, you know, I'll still be back there to do some stuff. I'll say hi to everybody. And, you know, like today, in a couple minutes here, I could talk to Pedro Grifol on a Zoom and talk about the team.
So we're talking to AJ Pierzynski. He's got the game on FS1 tonight. Okay, well, that's good. So it sounds like you're not closing the door completely on a relationship with the White Sox in the future.
Oh, no. I mean, we had conversations and they, you know, talked to some of the people there and they're like, hey, you know, if we need you to come to this or come to that, we'd still be open to it. And I'm like, yeah, it depends on if the timing works. Like I said, I got an 18-year-old and a 17, and one's about to graduate and the other one's a junior in high school. So there's a lot happening. But yeah, at the end of the day, no, I haven't closed the door on anything. Like I said, we left on good terms and
okay.
That's it.
So what's the way out for them on a baseball front?
Find better players? I mean, spend money? Where do we start? Develop players? They haven't done that for a long time. I don't know. What's the way out? I guess, listen, you got to spend in this league. I'm sorry. I know that people, you know, and Jerry's been kind of good about it. They've been in kind of the middle of the pack, but they haven't jumped in fully either. Let's be honest. They're one of two teams never signed a $100 million player. Them and the A's, right? They usually don't want to be involved with the A's and spending money in anything because it's, you know, the A's are known as one of the cheaper teams. And I don't want to say Jerry's cheap at all, but, you know, the facts are the facts and they haven't done it. And they haven't developed very well. I mean, I've been through this many times, but I don't want to just keep piling on, you know, just waiting for players. You know, people are going to say, oh, Luis Robert and this and that. But Luis Robert came from Cuba where he was kind of almost a finished product, right? I mean, Eloy came in a trade, you know, Moncada came in a trade. I'm talking about homegrown guys. If you look at their team, I mean, Gavin Sheets has been one of their good players this year. So give him credit a little bit for that, but it's taken, you know, 3-4 years. He made some swing changes in the offseason. It's worked. Andrew Vaughn's not having a great start. You just look at some of the guys and you're like, wait a minute, you know, and I get that every team has their hits and their misses, but at some point you want to see more hits than misses, right? You want to see a guy that's drafted in the 15th round that, you know, okay, who's this guy? And then boom, he becomes a productive major leaguer. It just hasn't happened. And I don't know who to blame. Do you blame the front office? Do you blame the drafter? Do you blame the development people? Do you blame the coaches? I don't know. But in order to be competitive, you have to do two things in this game. You have to spend money, you have to develop players, and you have to keep them healthy. And right now they're missing on all those.
Were you, as we're talking to AJ Pierzynski, was it something that you were aware of? You played for different teams, you know, all guys all around the league, like, oh, the White Sox cut corners with international development or minor league infrastructure, or they don't have a pitch lab here like they do in New York or whatever. Like, what? Because that's the argument, right? They're like, well, we spend on payroll, but then people are like, but yeah, but you got to spend on every level of the organization to fully develop. To your point, was it something that you noticed them cutting corners on as a player?
When I was there, no, they were great. So, no, I don't know. I never – because back then, I mean, my last year was 2012 with the White Sox. There was no, like, cutting corners as far as I knew. Listen, I mean, I came from the Twins, the cheapest organization in the world. Went to the Giants, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is the big leagues, right? And then I came to the White Sox, and everything was great. So I never noticed it because there wasn't pitching labs, and there wasn't analytics, and there wasn't this, and there wasn't that. We just played. Nowadays, yes, there's definitely different feelings. Now, have I heard it from people? Not really. I've heard some, you know, some rumblings from people that left that, you know, this and that was different when they go to other teams, but I'm not in there. So I don't know the answer to that. I know, you know, Eddie Casson's one of the best travel guys in the league and one of the best guys, his job getting you nice hotels and getting buses and planes and all that stuff. And as far as development and all that stuff, I'm not in the minor leagues. I'm not part of the organization. So I can't answer that. You're going to have to ask somebody that was either in the organization or in the fight because I don't know the answers.
What do you make of the, we'll say, crazy coincidence or disturbing pattern of injuries to high-profile players?
Well, hopefully it's just a crazy coincidence. You know, the soft tissue stuff stinks. You know, there's also been some bad luck. Like Eloy, he jumped up last year opening day and broke his collarbone or some crazy thing, right? Wasn't that?
Well, he had the spring training injury where he tried to rob a home run for some reason,
right,
and like hung on the wall. It was reckless and ridiculous. Yes, bad luck, but like what are you doing that in spring training?
Well, he's trying to play hard. I get it. Moncada's had a history, right? I know everybody wants to blame these guys, but everyone has different tolerance of pain, so it's so hard to, you know. And I don't know what they're going through, so I can't sit here and blame anybody for being. If they say they're hurt, they're hurt. I know fans get frustrated, players, people get frustrated, but listen, man, you want your best players out there. And anytime you lose, you know, Luis Robert, who's by far your best offensive weapon, you lose Moncada, who was hoping to have a bounce back here, and then Eloy, who could hit you 40 home runs. It's a tough way to start, and their offense has shown it. I don't know why. I mean, Herm's still kind of around a little bit, but I know Alan Thomas, Dale Torborg, you know, a bunch of the guys that were the strength guys that kept us on the field are not there anymore. Some of the training staff has turned over a couple times. Again, I'm not there, so I can't speak on some of this. I know everyone wants you to say like, oh, you have a magic answer, but I'm not there, so I can't speak on what they do.
People talk to you, though. You know what I mean? Like, I got to imagine you're pretty connected,
like,
still.
People send me stuff like, you know, there was a big thing going around the other day. I don't know if it was on the internet or what, but it was like stretch optional, batting practice optional. And they're like, no wonder everybody gets hurt. Well, guess what? A lot of teams do it that way now. It's just you get stretched on your own or you do this or do that. I mean, I played with Nick Markakis for 2 years. He never took BP on the field. He hit in the cage every day and he raked every year. So, and he didn't go out on the field and stretch with us or do anything. It was just the way he did it. So, I mean, everyone's different. It's just a bad perception when you see guys get hurt, right?
Yes.
And then they see, oh, stretch optional. Oh, no, this is why. It's not why. Some people are just more injury prone. And I don't know why. If I knew that, I'd be a trainer, doctor, something.
Did you find yourself being kindred spirits with Tim Anderson when he said F y'all to Cubs fans over the weekend?
I didn't see that, but I find it kind of funny.
Yeah.
I missed that. What did he do to
I don't know. I don't know what interaction it was or whatever, but he just was yelling F y'all to clearly to Cubs fans at Wrigley. So, no. You know.
Well, I'm assuming there wasn't a ton of Marlins fans there, so it probably had to be a Cubs fans, right?
Yes. No, it was very, very clearly at Cubs fans. I hope he bounces back, man. I always root for TA.
I do too. Listen, I want people to understand something. I don't hate Cub fans. I don't at all. I think it's great. I love it when a Cub fan comes up to me and says something, and when I'm in Chicago or somewhere else, and, you know, hey, I'm a Cub fan, man, I hate you. And I'm like, dude, cool. Like, that's pretty awesome. If someone goes out of their way to come up to you and they see you and they say that, then that means, you know, you probably did something to break their heart along the way, which I think I had a couple of those.
You certainly made an impact. Well, AJ, have a good broadcast on FS1, man, and thank you for the time and the candor as always. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, and, hopefully they'll turn it around at some point.
And keep Kratz in line, okay?
what's the line I keep hearing from Pedro? We got to execute better, so maybe they'll start executing.
Maybe. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
That's AJ Pierzynski. Foul Territory. You should check it out. FS1 with Kevin Kugler doing the national broadcast tonight. They're so sensitive, man. They're so sensitive about every little thing that just – that guy could be much more of an asset to them, even with the occasional criticism on that program. That is much more the White Sox loss than AJ's loss, at least from the chair that I'm sitting in. And it'll be good to see him on the national call with Kevin Kugler, who's a really good broadcaster, by the way, tonight on FS1. Oh, no! AJ moved up to 440. So my open about just...
Why do you think I asked AJ to move?
I'm not... I'm not listening to the re-air of this Tanny Open today. It was very painful for me. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the screen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.